Hey everyone, it's Shay Gearing with Black Street General Hospital's marketing department for our next episode of Over the Counter. This month we're talking to Aubrey Lawrence. April is Limb Loss and Limb Difference Awareness Month. So Aubrey, just let me backtrack real quick. Aubrey is on our marketing team now. She does internal communications for the hospital. You might have heard her voice last month with Ivy and Hannah. She interviewed them for 18 months. So you are already familiar with Aubrey. But like I said, April is Loss and Difference Awareness Month. And Aubrey, do you want to get into a little bit about how that ties into you?
Yeah. So I was born missing a majority of my right arm. So I'm kind of know-it-all when it comes to the limb difference and maybe a little bit of limb loss, maybe not as much that, but yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being willing to talk to us about it, educate us about it, and can you give us a little bit of background? Like you said, you were born without right arm, which is probably the least interesting thing about it.
We can start there. I was born without it, and probably since the age of like 5 months old, have been involved with, you know, various prosthetics and doing the whole thing and occupational therapy. So that kind of was a big part of my life. I mean, there are other parts of my life as well. I just started working for the hospital for marketing and all kinds of stuff. I really wanted to be a journalist at one point, and I'm working on a master's. There are a lot of different things about me, but for limb loss, yeah, that's kind of where we started at a very young age.
Gotcha. Are you from around the area?
Yep, I was born and raised here, so.
Is that kind of what made you want to come back and find a job here a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. When I graduated college in December, I was kind of, you know, looking for my next steps. I had decided to do a master's entirely online, but I didn't really know where to go. And my parents were like, come home. We'd love to have you home. And so I started looking for a job, and a professor said, you know what? I think this job at BBGH would be great for you. And I went, you know what? Let's do it.
I'm so stoked. That's awesome. I love it. Great. So let's get into a little bit about limb loss and limb difference awareness month. What would you say, I guess, is the most common question that you get from people about limb loss or not having most of your right arm?
A lot of times, you know, they'll always start with what happened, and they're always really afraid to ask because we, as a society, have kind of deemed people who are missing limbs as, you know, vulnerable people. You might ask them that question and it might just set them off. And for some people it does, but you know, they always ask that question kind of cautiously. Mm-hmm. And so when I tell them, oh, it's not a cool story at all, they get really, you know, kind of taken aback that I'm so comfortable talking about it and that they can ask as many questions as they want. But normally that is the first question I get, is kind of the lead into
what happened.
Yeah.
Have you ever made up a fun story?
Oh yeah.
I would totally do that.
Yeah. I remember being like, yeah, I lost it in the Play-Doh grinder. or people would always, you know, be like, was it a shark? Because when I was younger, I was, you know, the other reason a lot of people lose limbs is like serving in the military.
Sure.
And I was too young to serve in the military. So they were like, so what kind of accident? Mm-hmm. But I most of the time keep it pretty straight. Mm-hmm. Or I'll make a little joke and then tell them how it is.
Yeah. Do you have any idea on how that might have affected your parents at all?
They talked about it a little bit. They always were like, I hated when people would stare at you.
Yeah.
And they'd stare at us. And like, they wouldn't come up and ask. They'd just look at us like we're weird. We're some animal in a zoo. And they were always like, we wish people would just come up and talk to us. Because they were always so open about it. And they never cared. it was what it was mm-hmm. from the moment they found out. That's just kind of how it was.
Yeah.
So I think that was their biggest pet peeve with it all. Not that it was anything special. They just wanted people to stop looking at me differently because they didn't want that to affect me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess kind of along those lines, what was one of the most frustrating interactions or questions that you had?
I'd say the worst thing I ever experienced with it was, I don't remember how old I was, but we were going to Disney for the first time. And when I was little, I would not go anywhere without my prosthetic. Mm-hmm. That was the only way I'd feel comfortable in public is if I was wearing it. So I wanted to take it to Disney with us. And we were going through TSA and I was wearing it. And I, you know, set the alarm system off. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we're going to have to like go take her to a separate room. And they wanted to do it without my mom. They wanted to take me without my mom.
How old were you?
I think I was like in between the ages of like 5 and 7. I don't really remember.
Wow.
But I mean, it was such a terrifying experience. Because like it was something with the glue that was in my arm like resembles the same chemical as like gunpowder or something. I don't exactly remember. But it was so scary. Because I had no idea what I had done wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're like, the rest of your family can go over there. And eventually my mom's like, no, I'm not leaving her alone. Good. But that was probably the worst that I've ever gotten from that moment. Like, never again will I wear anything in the TSA. And I mean, it never happened again. Any other time we flew, like, I guess we really stuck it in a suitcase. And it
sure.
Nothing. But that was probably the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That is traumatizing, especially for a kid.
Yeah, because I didn't know what was going on. It was the first time I had ever flown anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darn it.
But most of the time, I guess, interactions aren't too bad. Mm-hmm. There might be somebody, you know, I've had college kids make a joke a little too far, and you're just like, take a step back, but nothing ever traumatizing. Most of the time most people don't even say anything or until they get like super comfortable with me, and then they'll start saying stuff. But you know, there's always that random odd person that'll say something, and you're just like, that's how it is.
That sucks. We talked a little bit about this before, having to then like confront that person and then also comfort them.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy that you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so frustrating, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you have to tell somebody, no, it's okay, your comment that was kind of maybe a little insensitive, it's totally okay because you're uneducated.
Yeah.
It kind of makes you feel a weird way.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to describe it because you can't feel mad at them. You can't say that was terrible. I cannot believe you said that.
Sure.
Because they didn't know better. Most of the time we don't tell people it's okay to ask questions because you're afraid you might hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
So it's a weird feeling of just comforting them.
Yeah.
Being like, it's okay, let me tell you more about it. And then pretending that everything is okay.
What a backwards way. So don't be afraid to ask questions, but also educate yourself.
Yeah.
So don't have to educate.
Don't rely on people to educate you about the stuff going on.
Yeah. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to. Obviously, everything is, we can do whatever we want here. But is there a reason why you choose not to wear a prosthetic, or do you have one? Do you in some situations, or?
I haven't worn one, I don't think, since I was like 17 or 18.
Okay.
I mean, I wore them all through school, dance, everything, I wore one. And as I started getting older and was like a little bit more independent, and I was learning how to do things, I was realizing that the usefulness of it was starting to kind of diminish. Mm-hmm. I wasn't using it as much, and it was kind of staying there. And it was, you know, a pain to get on. Upper body prosthetics are not the best because you're working against gravity, unlike with like legs where you're working with gravity.
Sure.
So, you know, have big straps across my chest. And that was like a self-conscious thing for me as I got older, you know, shirts might get a little lower cut and you're like, that's showing. And that's something I'm self-conscious about. So I started like thinking about it and being like, I don't need this. It's more of just like a comfort thing. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, I was just like, I can do it without it. If I ever do need one in the future, I can always get one that's like cosmetic and it's just kind of there. The big bulky ones that I had that, you know, can move fingers and and all that, I just didn't really need anymore.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. Well, good for you for, you know, just realizing that that is not serving you anymore.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about some of your most frustrating interactions with people. Do you have a favorite or something that you, the ideal way that you would cope with interaction with somebody goes?
I think my favorite interactions are always with children. Because, you know, they just learn things out. And it's so funny. I have this little second cousin, and he, when he was like 3 or 4, was visiting for a while. And my mom was like, do you want Aubrey to read you a bedtime story? And he goes, Aubrey can't read. She's missing an arm. Or she only has one arm. It's not even something you can like be mad at because it's just cute. Do you want to go swimming? Aubrey can go swimming with you. And he's like, Aubrey can't swim. She only has one arm.
Oh my god.
It was just like the cutest little kid thing. I do really love when kids say stuff like that. And like you can kind of tell them no, and you can educate them a little bit so that they're more aware. But those have been the best. My old advisor, my nickname at the paper was Poncho, and it was for the song Poncho and Lefty because he said Lefty was a little bit too obvious.
Oh my god.
So it's just things like that. Mm-hmm. And like people can make jokes sometimes that are really great and really funny, and those are the best. So I think it's like, you know, it's a fine line between being funny and being kind of insensitive, but once you kind of, you know, that I can make jokes sometimes, it gets pretty easy to find where that line is.
Good. I mean, I can assume you probably just want people to act with everybody else too, like it doesn't make a difference.
No, it doesn't. I'm totally pretty self-sufficient.
There
might be like a few things, but you know, I might be like, hey, can you tie my shoe?
Yeah,
because I can't tie my shoes. But for the most part, I'm pretty, just treat me like you treat anybody else.
Yeah, for sure. So impressed though, I guess. I don't know how to say this right, but I'm sure that it has to be hard, like being in a field like journalism. You were a journalist in college, a reporter. And like a big part of your job right now is writing, and primarily on the computer. And I just know when I try to type with one hand, I'm like the worst at it. So I'm super like, you write so quickly, your stories, you're just like on top of everything. So
I guess that's something I had to learn. A typing class was interesting. I had like my own little special keyboard that was smaller so that my fingers could reach all the keys. And there are some keyboards where I'm just like, this is hard
because
they're bulky, or, you know, and it slows me down. But I might not be able to type as fast as some person like who has two hands, but for the most part, I'm...
Well, it doesn't show.
That's good.
I'm curious. Yeah, it's great. Okay, so I just did a little quick research here. The Amputee Coalition says that 2.7 million people in the U.S. currently live with limb loss or limb difference. So I was curious if you might be able to share some of the challenge, I guess maybe common challenges. I know I'm kind of lumping everything in one here. Like you said, lower body amputations are much different than upper body. So I guess generally, have you noticed anything like in common or common challenges that people with limb loss or limb difference deal with that generally people who have all of their limbs working regularly don't have to deal with?
For like my personal experience, there were a lot of things I'd have to learn how to like figure out. And I guess that was kind of one of the better things about being born without one. I just learned that way. I never had to relearn anything. That can be especially hard for people who have lost a limb, trying to relearn how to do everything that they used to do.
Yeah.
And it can be super frustrating. But like some of the difficulties, I learned how to cook differently. Do my hair. Like I still can't, sure. I haven't figured out how to like curl my hair by myself.
Yeah.
And my nails, things like that, just little tiny things that you'd like never really think of mm-hmm. as like a totally able-bodied person, that you're just like, this is a normal everyday task for me.
Sure.
Might be something that's just like a little bit harder for somebody who's missing a limb. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the biggest thing for people to realize, that either we're going to be a little slower or we're going to need help, but that's really up to the person, and it's different for every person.
Yeah.
There might be something that that other people have just totally figured out, and it depends on like where you're missing the limb, like how far you're missing, things like that that really just make it different for everybody.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
definitely. Thank you.
Yeah.
this might be inappropriate. I'm sorry for this, but have you been to a nail salon? Mm-hmm. Do they give you half off?
I do.
That's so good.
I know. I love that's it. The so first good. Time I ever
I'm
got.
Sure that's probably not the first time you've heard that either.
No. So. You know, but like the first time I ever got my nails done professionally, it was like for a wedding.
Yeah.
And we went in. My mom was like, "Are they going to make her pay full price?"
Yeah.
And they didn't. They kind of like talked amongst each other, like, "What do we do?
Yeah.
What should we do? Like, you know, we'll give you half off." And like one time I went in to just get them removed, and she was like, "No, it's free. I can't even charge you for that.
Nice.
I did half the work I normally would, and it's sure. just to remove them." Yeah. So yeah, it's a nice little good. Benefit.
There's one.
There's one.
Good. That's good. Kind of along that line, are there any resources that you've experienced or come across that have helped you out that you might recommend, or maybe like a group or mm-hmm. a club or something?
I haven't really ever been a part of anything, probably because of where we are.
Sure.
It's, you know, there are a ton of us out in the panhandle. Mm-hmm. So if there is a group, I'm not aware of it. But I think, you know, occupational therapy was one of the biggest helps for me. Mm-hmm. Like anybody who, you know, if they lose a limb, anything like that, that is the biggest help. My occupational therapist at school, she did so much to try to figure things out for me. She worked really, like, if you want to do this, I'm going to help you try to do this.
Yeah.
So I think that is a big resource that anybody should, like,
yeah.
take in if they need it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. We'll have to do some research, I guess.
I know. So maybe I'll join a group.
Resources around
maybe I'll start a group.
Yeah. There you go. There we go. I guess if you're comfortable sharing too, obviously you've had some impacts on your physical well-being, kind of overcoming that obstacle of just having your left arm, I guess. You still work out and everything.
Yeah.
Like, but obviously I'm sure that's a big impact on your physical well-being.
Yeah.
How does that kind of tie into... How does that affect your mental well-being, I guess? Or what are some things you do that help you kind of get through that? I know you said occupational therapy.
Yeah.
People help you. And
I guess physical well-being-wise, arm day is a struggle. but mentally, I think the biggest thing that always like impacted my mental well-being was just how I looked at myself, because I was never exposed to other people who
yeah.
were really truly missing limbs. You know, there's not a lot of representation out there. I guess there is more now, and I'm really happy about that. Mm-hmm. But when I was growing up, that wasn't really something you saw on TV or, you know, in books, movies.
Yeah.
So it was hard to identify with people like that. So you always kind of look at yourself as like the other. You're the odd person out. Sure. And so that always, you know, mentally impacted me. And then I'd want to wear something and I'd feel self-conscious about it. Mm-hmm. Like that's always kind of been a big hurdle mentally. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I combat those as much as I can. There are always those dark moments where I kind of let myself dig myself a hole. But, you know, working out helps. All the ways that you kind of combat mental illness and things like that have always been a good way to release the struggles.
Yeah.
Just to make myself feel better. And as we get more inclusive and there's more diversity and seeing people and kind of recognizing that my struggles might not be solely my own and that it might be a more universal problem for some people, that has helped. I also, for me, people, you know, they ask a question that, especially if they're missing a limb, and they ask a question, well, how do you do this? I love trying to help them do that. That is like one of my favorite things is when we share secrets.
Yeah,
and we're like, well, I do it this way. How do you do this? Mm-hmm. That's always the best. And it kind of helps.
Good. Yeah, for sure. I can imagine that'd be hard. I mean, yeah, growing up in a rural area, I think it's pretty common that we aren't exposed to as many people, I guess diverse people, as those people in more urban areas do. So, yeah, we'll have to see when we grow up here.
Yeah,
from this podcast,
we start getting an outreach with everyone.
We're going to make you a lot of friends. Okay, and then we've talked a little bit about this jokingly, but also seriously, mm-hmm. if there are any benefits.
Yeah. Like, there's part of me that's like, I shouldn't call it a benefit. I'm disabled. Like, there's nothing beneficial about it.
Yeah.
But there are. Yeah. Like, when I went to college, we got me a handicap. Mm-hmm. And, like, totally legal. I am a handicapped person.
Sure.
But, like, that has been one of the biggest benefits.
Yeah.
I love if I go to a Walmart on a Sunday afternoon. I mean, I always take the furthest one because I'm like, I can walk. I don't want somebody who can't walk to not have the closest parking spot. But, like, being able to pull in there and just stick my little handy up there or going to big events, that's always been super beneficial.
Yeah.
And I guess there's, like, the academic side where, you know, diversity is such a good thing for colleges and being able to say I'm different has always, you know,
for sure,
given me a little leg up. I don't like to say that that's the only thing getting me into things,
right.
But it, you know,
absolutely not.
But, like, you know, when you kind of look at the pros and cons, you have to tally it up there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, I'm glad at least there's some other small things that, you know, go in that pro con. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to call it a benefit.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to say I'm benefiting from something. But and so, yeah, being single and being disabled isn't all negatives, which I think is something that we need to, like, as a society, prove more.
Mm-hmm.
That just because you're disabled, your life isn't terrible. And it might be harder and you might have different struggles, but you can still be a happy person and have a good life and enjoy your life. And, like, all that, and there are benefits.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add on that now?
That wraps up
my questions.
That's it.
So, all right. Well, thanks for taking the time to educate me and everyone else and work through my awkwardness, too. I appreciate your patience and.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad. Well, I'm sure we'll hear from you again.
I'm sure.
I think that's all for today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.